Exodus chapter 20, we want to begin looking at the third commandment, which is recorded in verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. The first commandment, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me, tells us who we worship. The second commandment gives us the means of worship. We're not to make any graven image, not to make any likeness of anything that is in heaven. So we have who we are to worship. We have the means in which we are to worship him. In verse 7, this third commandment, we see the manner or the spirit of worship. And like the first two commandments, the third commandment is expressed by way of the negative. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. But just as in the first two commandments and also the others, though it is stated in the negative and affirmative, of course, is implied, the Bible presents something in a negative way, the affirmative is implied. If it presents it in a positive way, the negative is implied. So the affirmative would be, thou shalt take care to reverence and honor his name. Just like all the commandments, we've tried to stress this, most people look at the Ten Commandments in such a shallow way that they almost become meaningless, and hardly anyone is guilty of breaking the commands. But I believe the Ten Commandments have a great depth. And as you examine the depth of the commandments, you see that we've broken them all. We break these commandments. Maybe not all of them every day, but we break his commandments, these Ten Commandments, every single day. The Ten Commandments, man does not need. We're always passing new laws. Man doesn't need any new laws. Man needs to obey God's laws, and the Ten Commandments basically cover everything. I mean, when you look at the depth of the commands, if you just look at it in a shallow way, in a superficial way, it doesn't cover much of anything. But if you really look at the depth of the Ten Commandments, it covers everything. And if society would obey the Ten Commandments, how much better off we would be. Now, Jesus taught this command when he taught upon prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 9, Jesus said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And that's the third commandment. That is the third commandment. That's the third commandment in the positive. Hallowed be thy name. So this third commandment is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So the command concerns the name of God. Most when they think about the third commandment, the immediate thing that comes to their mind is cursing. That's the immediate thing that comes to their mind. And certainly, the third commandment prohibits cursing, no doubt about it. But there's much, much, much more to the third command. If you just limit it to cursing, you've missed the whole picture of the third command. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So it concerns the name of God. That's our attention is drawn to the name of God. And regard is to be given to the fact that He is the Lord thy God. So in order to understand the extent of the command, since it concerns His name, we need to understand His name. Need to understand what that means. His name is said to be glorious and fearful. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Glorious and fearful name. What does that mean? Well, that means that His name represents that which is beautiful, that which is magnificent. And it is to, we are to fear His glorious and fearful name. That is, it is to be regarded with the utmost awe. It is to be regarded with the utmost respect. It is to be regarded with the utmost affection, the name of God. It's not just a name that you mention in passing. The very name of God needs to be dealt with in this, with awe and respect. We see also in Psalm 8 concerning the name of God. Psalm 8 and verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. How excellent is Thy name. That means it excels all others, the name of God. That means that it is matchless. It has no rival. How excellent is Thy name. Psalm 83, Psalm 83, verse 18. That men may know that Thou, whose name alone is Jehovah. Notice, whose name alone art the Most High over all the earth. It's His name alone. You do not give the titles of God to anyone else. His name is unrivaled. There is no rival. And again, no one is to take the name of God to themselves. Many do. The Pope. I mean, I'm not going to get into it. And the name Reverend. Holy and Reverend is His name. No one else's name is Reverend. Isaiah 57 in verse 15. Isaiah 57 verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Whose name is holy. Usually when we think of holy, we think of pure. And certainly that is a part of holiness, purity. But that is not the root meaning of holy. The root meaning of holy is set apart. Set apart. God is pure. God is set apart. That is, His name is to be kept pure. And His name is to be kept set apart. And this is where we get into, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. But let's consider whose name is holy. God wants us to know that because that is reiterated over and over and over throughout the Word of God, specifically the Old Testament. We are reminded over and over, God's name is holy. We're going to look at several verses, but in Leviticus chapter 20, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 3, and I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he has given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. My holy name. Leviticus 22 in verse 2. Speak unto Aaron and to his sons that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, and that they profane not my holy name in those things which they hallow unto me. Then there's the reminder, I am the Lord. But once again, he says, my holy name. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 10. Glory ye in his holy name. Again, his holy name. Verse 35. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 16. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Verse 21. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. In his holy name. We have trusted in his holy name. Psalm 103 and verse 1. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Psalm 105. Verse 3, glory ye in his holy name. Psalm 106, verse 47. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, and give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. Psalm 145, verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. And over in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, verse 39. As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go ye, serve ye every one his idols, and hereafter also, if ye will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. That's quite a statement. He says, if you're going to worship me and still worship your idols, don't worship me. Don't go through the motions. Go and worship your idols. If you're going to continue to profane my holy name. In other words, it's more disgusting to God for someone to go through the motions than for someone to just go out. That's what he's saying there. Ezekiel 36, verses 20 and verse 21. When they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among heathen, whither they went. Again, we see God's holy name. In chapter 39 and verse 7, so I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. He's talking to God's people. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord. Notice he put a difference between Israel and the heathen. And it was Israel that polluted the holy name of the Lord. Verse 25, therefore thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. Ezekiel 43, verse 7, verse 8. He said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places, in their setting of their threshold by my thresholds, and their post by my post. You see, they had brought the name of God down to a common level. And the wall between me and them, they have been defiled. They have even defiled my holy name by their abominations that they have committed. Wherefore I have consumed them in mine anger. Every one of these verses mentions the holy name of God. His name is set apart. His name is perfect. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36 and verse 23, God said, I will sanctify my great name. And the word sanctify there simply means I will set apart my great name. I will set it apart from all others. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20, if we turn there. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His." Blessed be the name of God. The word blessed means praise, but it also means holy, sacred, hallowed, consecrated, sanctified. Be the name of God. So each of these verses, and there's many more, but each of these verses declare that God's name is sacred. God's name is sacred. And God's name is never to be brought down to the common things of man. His name is sacred. You know, these individuals who say, well, you just, when you pray, you just talk to God like you would talk to anyone else. No, you don't. Because God isn't like anyone else. Better be careful of profaning the name of God. And again, and we'll get more in this later, not today, but in the coming weeks, the ones that are charged with profaning God's name, taking God's name in vain, is God's people. And He's not just talking about cursing. It goes much, much deeper than this. The name of God, in order to understand, again, the command concerns the name of God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So the command concerns His name. We've seen something about His name. His name is holy. His name is great. His name is excellent. But in order to understand the scope of the command, we have to have some understanding of how comprehensive God's name is. What does God's name cover? What is included in God's name? Is it just referring to the titles of God? What is included? How comprehensive is the name of the Lord? We must have some understanding of how comprehensive His name is. His name signifies who He is. His name signifies what He is. His name is God Himself. And everything which He has been pleased to make Himself known, all of that is included in His name. Now, people are known and people are distinguished from others by their names. We all are distinguished from everyone else by our names. And so it is with God. He is distinguished from all others by His name. The name of the Lord. That includes all the names of God in the Bible. It includes all the titles that God takes to Himself. But it's more than that. It's deeper than that. We said His name signifies who He is. His name includes all of His attributes. When God revealed His attributes, it was the proclaiming of His name. Notice in Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33 and verse 19. And He said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." This is referring to all my goodness. That is, all of my attributes, who I am, will pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. You see, all His goodness is associated with His name. It's who He is. Notice in chapter 34, verse 6 and 7, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundance in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that by no means will clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, unto the third and fourth generation. Again, God's name is the revealing of His attributes. God's name also includes His Word. It includes His Word. You cannot treat in vain the Word of God without taking His name in vain, because you can't separate the two. Notice in Psalm 138. Psalm 138 and verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. His word is magnified above his name. And we're not to take his name in vain. The works of God is associated with his name. So we have the Bible, the Word of God, is associated with His name. So when it says that we're not to take His name in vain, that implies to the Word of God. Also the works of God. Notice in Psalm 19, and we'll stop, Psalm 19 and verse 1. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. Heavens declare the glory of God, and firmness showeth His handiwork. Everything about God, whether it be His word, His works, everything about God is associated with His name. And that gives us the scope of the command. Whether people realize it or not, when you go outside and you complain about the weather, or I complain about whoever, that's profaning His name. People don't look at it that way. That's profaning His name. It's profaning His works. And you can't separate God's name from His works. When you open the Word of God and you halfway listen or you read without giving attention, you're breaking the third commandment. It's a profaning of the name of God. And yet today, most people think the only way you can profane the name of God is cursing. But when God was rebuking Israel for profaning His name, I don't believe God was talking about cursing at all. I'm not saying certainly the third commandment includes cursing. Certainly it does. But it's far from where it stops. So again, we'll look at this commandment. It's, as all the commands, very serious. And one that, as you look into the depths, you have to say, God, be merciful to me. Because we're guilty. We're guilty of these commands. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the depth of Your Word. We're thankful that we as humans can never even come close to reaching the depth of Your Word. We're thankful, Lord, that it's unsearchable. We thank You, Lord, for Your commands and how they protect our lives. And we pray, Lord, that You would cause us to have the utmost respect for You. Lord, we pray as we enter into Your presence today, Lord, that You would help us to focus entirely upon Thee. Help us, Lord, to realize the privilege that is before us, but not only the privilege, the responsibility of coming into Your house. Help us, Lord, this day. We pray that You'd meet with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.